God is going to share to us through his word this morning. Wonder, do you ever imagine what it would be like to be blind? Do you ever close your eyes and think what life would be like if you weren't able to open them again? Helen Keller was a remarkable woman who was both blind and deaf since childhood. She thought it would be a blessing if each person could know at some point in their life what it was like to be blind or deaf, even for a few days. She said darkness would make them appreciate sight. Silence would teach them the joys of sound. We see this joy and delight in the story of blind Bartimaeus. As God worked in his life, his eyes were opened to the desperate situation he was in. He cried out for mercy, and he experienced that great joy as he continued by faith in Jesus. I hope today that we will all see that we were born blind in spiritual darkness, and that it's only God who enables us to see our need for mercy and to continue to live by faith in Christ Jesus. The Gospel of Mark clearly focuses on who Jesus is and how you can have a meaningful relationship with him. And this is evident in this chapter 10. Verse 32 said that Jesus and his disciples were on their way up to Jerusalem. But this wasn't them just going out for a stroll or a wee dander. This was a journey with a purpose. And for the third time, Jesus made it clear to them that this journey would end with him being betrayed, flogged, beaten, and killed. And then on the third day that he would rise again. And the purpose is made very clear in verse 45, as Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." On this journey to the cross, they then came to Jericho. And in verse 46, we read that Jesus and his disciples, as well as a large crowd, they leave that city of Jericho. And as they meet blind Bartimaeus, I want to highlight 3 points which focus on what it truly means to see. So firstly, those who are blind are unable to see. And you may be thinking I'm stating the obvious with that point. Of course, if someone's physically blind, then of course they are unable to see. But before we come to this situation of Bartimaeus, I think it's important to see that Mark uses this section to highlight the blindness of some other people. These people had 20/20 vision physically, but spiritually they were as blind as a bat. Surprisingly, it's Jesus' immediate disciples who come under fire for criticism. In chapter 8 and 17, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear?" These are the guys who had been following Jesus everywhere. They heard his great teaching. They saw his miracles as he did it with great authority. But yet Jesus told them that they still did not understand. In chapter 8 and 29, Peter had acknowledged, if you remember, that Jesus was the Christ. In some ways, you could commend him for getting the right answer. It seemed as though he saw who Jesus was. But he didn't actually understand what that meant. When Jesus explained that he must suffer and die, he was appalled at this. His response was one which showed that he was unable to see clearly, and he pulled Jesus to the side and started to rebuke Jesus. This is someone who was not seeing clearly. And Jesus made it clear to him in his response as he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Time and time again, the disciples and others showed that they just didn't get it. In chapter 9, you can read about Peter being joined by James and John as they went up that mountain with Jesus and witnessed his transfiguration. As they saw the appearance of Elijah and of Moses, how did Peter respond? Well, he says, "Let us make a few shelters so we can camp out here and we can enjoy this great time and hang out with these prophets." They still hadn't understood. They were still unable to see. And then just before this encounter with Bartimaeus, we have James and John again showing their lack of sight as they asked an outrageous question to Jesus. They brazenly asked to be seated to the left and to the right of Jesus in glory. They were focused on their own greatness. They were focused on their own glory, thinking that they deserved this great position. They didn't see what it meant to be part of God's upside-down kingdom, one which Jesus said, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served, and give his life as a ransom for many. Peter, James, John, many others were unable to see who Jesus truly was. They were unable to see how his kingdom would be brought about, unable to see the need for Jesus' suffering and his death, unable to see that he had to give his life as a ransom in place of theirs. Their eyes needed to be opened to the truth. And maybe this resonates with you today. You're still blind to the truth about who Jesus is. Like Peter, you maybe think you know the right answers. You can maybe recite the catechism from Sunday school. You can recall verses of scripture and old hymns. But it's all in your head. It hasn't reached your heart. Maybe you're unable to see the need for Jesus to go and suffer and die on the cross. It doesn't mean anything to you personally, because your eyes are still closed to the good news of the gospel. You don't see the point of it all. Or maybe to some extent, you accept these things as truth, but it hasn't actually changed your life. There hasn't been a transformation or a full recovery of spiritual sight. You just want to live in luxury and comfort. You're not willing to suffer for Christ. You're not willing to go out of your way to live for him. It's all about me, 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 and not Christ and Christ alone. Jesus to you is just a nice little add-on in your life that maybe you pull out on a Sunday morning as you come here to church. Or he's just someone that you look to whenever things are getting a wee bit difficult and you're going through a hard time. Let me tell you, if that's the case with your life this morning, you're blind and unable to see. Each one of us needs to come to that realization like this blind man Bartimaeus. In verse 46, Mark clearly identifies him as the son of Timaeus and makes clear that he is blind. We aren't told if he's been physically blind since birth or if it's something that happened to him later in life. But he is, though, very clearly in a desperate situation. As it says, he's sitting by the roadside begging. There was no disability allowance in those days. There was no income support. He had to fend very much for himself. But even today, when you see someone begging at the side of the street, you can see clearly the harsh reality of the situation that they face. Bartimaeus certainly realized the desperate situation he was in. Think about what it meant for him to be blind, not able to go about a day's work to support himself, not able to see to even get from A to B, from place to place. He would have felt worthless in the society he lived in, as people ignored him or looked down on him, classifying him as a sinner and an outcast. And even when he speaks up here, he's rebuked by the people around him and told to be quiet. As we look at the condition of Bartimaeus, we can recognize the desperate situation he's in because of the result of blindness. But all of us here have been born into a dreadful situation. That may not be due to a lack of physical sight, but it is one of spiritual sight. Because of the problem of sin, every one of us have been blind to our need of God, blind to our need to depend on him as our creator and sustainer, unable to see the desperate situation that we're in as we were cut off from God and facing his wrath before a holy God. Bartimaeus knew how blind he was. He knew how awful this situation was that he was in. But what about you? Have you realized that you were born into this world spiritually blind and corrupted by sin? If you are still in that desperate situation, then your eyes need to be opened. They need to be opened. And this leads on to our second point, that those who truly see cry out for mercy. Those who truly see cry out for mercy. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So as we've already discovered, this man knew his desperate situation. And that clearly comes across here as he cries out for mercy. But can you picture the scene here? This dusty, windy, uphill road from Jericho to Jerusalem, where there was a large crowd following Jesus and his disciples, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, trying to hear the words of wisdom that he was sharing. There would have been a bit of commotion going on. But as Bartimaeus sat at the side of that busy road, he overheard people mention the name Jesus of Nazareth. There's no record of him having met Jesus before, but he clearly knew who he was. Quite often when people lose their physical sight, their other senses are heightened, and maybe their sense of hearing is heightened. So as he would have sat by that roadside, he would have heard lots of things as people passed by, maybe things they shouldn't have heard at times. But people were bound to be talking about Jesus and about what he had been doing as he went from place to place. The many miracles that he performed as he healed the blind and made the lame walk. As he fed over 5,000 people with a wee boy's packed lunch. People were amazed at his teaching and the authority that he had. Surely Bartimaeus was building up this picture in his mind of who Jesus of Nazareth actually was. And it seems to be an accurate picture as he rightly calls Jesus the Son of David. He must have known something of the story of the Old Testament, possibly recalling the promise of 2 Samuel 7, where there was an expectation of a Davidic king to come, a descendant of his who would be the Messiah, who would bring in the everlasting kingdom. And Mark sets Bartimaeus apart from others here in his recognition of this. Instead of seeking his own glory or wanting an elevated status, he cried out for mercy as he came before this Son of David. He pleaded with Jesus as he cried out in desperation, knowing the situation he was in. And even when people tried to keep him quiet, they tried to keep him from coming to Jesus, he shouted all the more, "Have mercy on me." Nothing could keep him from crying out because God was at work in this man's life. But the crowds around him couldn't see this. They didn't think that Jesus would want anything to do with this lowlife sitting at the side of the road. They saw him as an embarrassment to society as he sat there and he begged. They didn't think he was worthy of coming to Jesus. Maybe we can be guilty of that attitude within the church. Are there certain types of people who you think are not worthy to be called? Maybe because of their background? Maybe because of things they have done in their life before? Are there people who you wouldn't want to invite to church because maybe they wouldn't quite fit in? Or they might tarnish the good name of the Presbyterian Church? Or maybe even people in the pews down from you this morning who you don't think deserve to be here. Maybe you think about the family background they come from, the things that they have done in their past, and you think, maybe they just shouldn't be here. As believers, we can all too easily forget our own unworthiness and how blind we were before our eyes were opened. We must remember that we can only see the truth on our need of Christ because God showed us mercy. I hope none of us here think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and that we wouldn't be a hindrance to anyone coming to this church, but to also meet Christ. As these people rebuked Bartimaeus and tried to silence him, verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." What a powerful scene. Can you imagine that? The Christ, the awaited Son of David, stopped in the middle of that road with a large crowd surrounding him and said, "Call him. Call that man that you were trying to silence. Call that man that you were looking down your nose at, thinking that you were better." They must have felt greatly rebuked as they sheepishly called him over to Jesus. But Bartimaeus clearly knew the call of God in his life even before those men went and said those words. God enabled him to see that Jesus was the Messiah who came to give life, to give his life as a ransom for many. to give his life as a ransom for him. As he was convicted of his wretchedness and realized the desperate situation that he was in, he cried out for mercy to the only one who could save him. Even though he was physically blind at this point, he could see more clearly than all those standing around in the crowd. But how is your sight today? Have you come to see your sinfulness, to see your wretchedness before a holy God? Have you cried out in mercy, totally and utterly dependent on him? So those who are blind are unable to see. Those who truly see cry out for mercy. Then finally, those who believe continue in faith. So this blind beggar didn't have much going for him, did he, as he sat at the side of the road day in, day out. Maybe you're a bit skeptical about the whole situation. Maybe you're thinking, sure, that Bartimaeus fella, he was only interested in getting his physical sight back. You may be thinking, I know I would if I was in that situation. Sure, he was just shouting out to Jesus in the hope that he would get his sight back, that he would do a miracle so that he could see. Well, then he could go on about living the rest of his life. He could get a job, he could make money, he could have a family, and surely he could do all these things that everyone's looking for in life, couldn't he? And maybe your suspicions are confirmed in verse 52 as he does actually receive his physical sight. But there's a number of factors here that show that there's more to his seeing than just physical sight. He has truly believed in Jesus and comes to faith in him as the one of his followers. As he came before Jesus, Bartimaeus was asked the same question, the exact same question that was asked of James and John in verse 36. But as Jesus asks this question, he treats this man with the utmost respect. He allows him to respond in a human way. He's given a voice to speak, unlike the crowds who were trying to silence him. Jesus listened and spoke to him with compassion. There is, though, a comparison being made here between those two disciples and Bartimaeus. James and John misunderstood who Jesus was and what he came to do. Whereas Bartimaeus didn't. He knew exactly who Jesus was. They sought their own glory. They sought their own high position with their request. But Bartimaeus made a simple, humble request. Verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." This wasn't a glory-seeking moment. This wasn't something to give credit to himself. This was a basic health request. One commentary put it, he asks not to be superhuman, but simply human. His response shows his dependence on Jesus. As he uses this term, rabbi, which can mean teacher. But it can also be used to address God in prayer, so it further shows his understanding of who he actually thought Jesus was. And the only other time that this word is used in Scripture is found when Mary saw Jesus at the resurrection. When she came to that tomb, she cried out, "Rabbi." And this was a recognition of who Jesus was and a demonstration of putting their faith in him. His faith is also made very clearly known by Jesus himself here as he said, "Go, your faith has healed you." He did this in public view of the crowds around him. Jesus makes it known that this man already had faith. His faith didn't come after he received his physical sight, but before. This wasn't a faith that was dependent on getting something from Jesus. So often people can claim to have faith in Jesus, but they do it on their own terms, on the basis that they get something out of it in the end. They think, "I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus because, you know, I'll be healthy and well. I'll put my faith and trust in Jesus so I'll not suffer or have to endure any hardship. There'll be nothing bad happen to me if only I put my trust and faith in Jesus." Folks, that's not the gospel. That's a false gospel, and it's not what's on show here or anywhere else in the Bible. The word that is used for heal here can also mean to save. And although Jesus graciously gives him the physical sight, there's a sense that this is not just a physical healing. It is much, much more than that. This man has truly been saved. God showed him his sinfulness, his need for a Savior, and it enabled him to cry out for mercy. And he cried out to the only one who could heal him, the Son of David, the awaited Messiah, the one who gave his life as a ransom for many. Mark portrays this man, Bartimaeus, as a model disciple, because by coming to faith, this wasn't the end of the journey for him. It was only beginning. As Jesus said, go. He didn't just go off in his own direction. He didn't go his own way or some other way in life. It says he followed Jesus along that road. Remember, that is the road that's leading to Jerusalem, the journey that would end in Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, the road that led to the perfect Savior who never sinned, who was undeserving of all the abuse that he faced. But he willingly went along that road so that people like Bartimaeus, so that people like you or me here today might come to faith and trust in him as their Savior. Although we don't have an account of the rest of this man's life, he seems to have wholeheartedly given himself over to following Jesus no matter what lay ahead. Verse 50 seems to reflect that as he says, throwing off his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. This man didn't have much in life as he sat begging by the side of the road, but he threw off everything he had to follow Jesus. There was nothing holding him back from continuing on that journey. There was nothing holding him back from continuing on that journey in the faith that had been given him. You can imagine the amazement of the people standing by as they saw this blind man receiving his sight. Bartimaeus followed Jesus joyfully and wholeheartedly as he recognized the desperate situation that he was in, as he realized that he was saved by the mercy of God. It is such a wonderful and overwhelming delight to know that you have had your life transformed by Jesus. From being blind to seeing, from being in darkness to being in light, from death to life, from serving self to serving Christ. Do you have that sense of joy in your life? Have your eyes been opened to your sinful, desperate situation as you stand before a holy God? Have you cried out to him for mercy, to the Lord Jesus Christ, responding in faith and putting your trust in him? If not, why not do that today? You need to do that today. For those who are already on that road and are following Jesus, I want to ask you today, do you continue to revel and wonder at what Christ has done? Realizing the situation that you have been brought out of and where you're heading. Realizing that it is only by God's grace that your blind eyes were opened to the truth. Let us seek to display that joy, that wonder in our lives, putting off anything that hinders us, following Christ to the very end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it clearly points us to our need for mercy. We recognize that we are sinful people, born into this world in that sinful state, unworthy to come into the presence of a holy and wonderful God. But we thank you that by your grace, you saw fit to send your Son Jesus into this world, that he would come and suffer and die on that cross, that he would give his life as a ransom for many, that we might come to know forgiveness of sins. God, we thank you for that forgiveness. We lay our sins before you this morning, asking that you would indeed forgive us. We ask that you would uplift us today in joy, knowing that wonder of transformation, having been blind, now we see. God, take us out from this place today, following Christ in the faith that has been given to us, serving you in all our ways, giving you the glory and the wonder and the praise for all that you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.